Let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to read the first seven verses, 2 Chronicles 14. Thank you for that introduction, Pastor. And yes, I'm your elder brother.
Amen.
But I appreciate it. 2 Chronicles 14, verses 1 through 7. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And pay attention to this one man here, Asa. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Look at what he's doing here, Asa. Look at some of the things that he's doing for the Lord. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Look at the background. The land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls. I think I told you here, did I tell you that this is not a politically correct message today? But once again, I don't care about that one. And towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he had given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may you please bless your word now. Lord, we are interested in knowing the truth, not in the emotions of some or others, or not to please men, but to please thee. So may we learn from you. May you be magnified. May your word just be elevated in our eyes. And may the name of Jesus Christ just be lifted up. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated. And I may remind you that we're in a Bible-believing church, and this is not a political rally. But all I care about is to tell you the truth from the Word of God.
Amen.
In the book of Psalms 51, verse 18, the Bible says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. In Psalms 122, verse 7, the Bible says, peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 28, it says, he that had no rule over all his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let me say it again. He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And at this point, I'm maybe imagining that you're already thinking, you know, Brother George, wow, that's not going to talk about walls, right? You know, I'm not even going to talk about walls that you guys are thinking about. I'm talking about walls from the Bible's perspective, biblical perspective. You know, throughout the history, you know, man has been building walls. You know that? Why? Well, most notably for protection from his own kind. But as we near the time of the Lord's return, we find that today, especially today, many, many believe more in building bridges to get everyone together. I told you, you're not going to like this message today. The thought of separation and division is far too negative, even for the professing Christians. Did you know that in the Word of God, bridge is not even found? Go look it up. The word bridge is not even found in the King James Bible. In one of his poems, you probably heard his name before, it's 1963, Robert Frost. He's an American poet. He frequently wrote about, and when he wrote his poems, about, it's got social or political themes to it, to those writings. You know, he ridiculed the saying that good fences make good neighbors. He ridiculed that, made fun of that idea, with the implication that anyone who builds a wall does so blindly without thinking about why he's building it. That's what he's saying. He said also that something, quote, something there is that doesn't like or love a wall. When you build a wall, there's something there that doesn't want that wall. And that to build a wall is offensive. That's what he said. You know, again, without telling us who's being offended. You know, there most certainly is someone or something that doesn't love a wall. But what or who would that something be? Let me tell you the spirit of this age. The God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians. You know who the God of this world is? The spirit of this age is to get everyone together. And any wall builder is a troublemaker. He's a troublemaker. He's a divider. What this generation does not realize is that this breaking down of walls so that everyone can get together will be to their own destruction under the leadership of the coming world dictator called the Antichrist. I told you, you're not going to like this message today. A Bible believer recognizes a great need for building walls. And is always going to go against the spirit of inclusion. Are you a Bible believer? One of the great advantages of a Bible reader, for those of you who read the Bible, is gaining the discernment to see the need to separate, to come out, and to refuse to go along. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Are you a Christian? Are you a Bible believer? Take a look at that. Verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, some 600 years before the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know Nebuchadnezzar? You know, he had the great walls of Babylon. He built them. He went completely around about 40 square miles city. It was all over, all around his city. You know, these walls were so thick that it allowed about 4 chariots abreast to ride on top of that wall. You know how big that is and why? 90 feet high with the Euphrates River cutting diagonally through the city. Underneath the walls, the Medo-Persian enemy, you know, Darius, King Darius, remember King Darius? He was unable to scale the walls. It's so high, so thick, around the city. So what he did? He diverted the river that's going underneath the walls. He diverted the river, and that's how he got inside the city. It's not through the wall. It was so thick. That's how he defeated the Babylonians. And it brought to pass, remember, the handwriting on the wall in Daniel 5. Again, Belshazzar and destroyed the Babylonian Empire. Another ancient wall is the Western Wall. Or another name for that is the Wailing Wall. How many of you know the Wailing Wall? It was built, you know, in Jerusalem. It's built by Herod by 19 BC to expand the Temple Mount area. This wall is about 187 feet long, 62 feet high, and it's exposed section. And the Jews today, you know what they do? They still mourn and pray at the wall. They remember that loss of their temple and city that took place about 70 AD, the destruction of Jerusalem under the Roman Empire. You know, more recently, the nation of Israel built a security wall in an effort to protect their citizens from being slaughtered by the Muslims, the suicide bombers. It began around 1990s, and finished about 15 years ago, 2003. This wall, you know what happened? As soon as they built this wall, it immediately reduced the suicide bombings from about 73 to 12. The Jewish dead from 293 to 64. Completely cut the number of fatalities. And the Jewish wounded from 1900 to 445. You know, Americans today don't understand this. Our inability to deal with these facts. You know, an average American, college educated, so-called, they're so ignorant of these facts that they call this is a racist wall. That's what they say. You know, imagine what these clowns would say if each year 293 Americans were killed and 1,900 were wounded by enemy attacks. What would they say? Perhaps another great wall that you guys know pretty well known is the Great Wall of China. All right? It dates back all the way to the Ming Dynasty, around 1300 AD, ranging between 15 to 30 feet high and about 20 feet wide. Pretty big. It traverses over 4,000 miles, counting the natural barriers of mountains, cliffs, and, and tamp dirt, make parts of it. No, the Chinese built that wall to protect themselves from the Manchurian and Mongolian tribes. You know your history? Because they would often attack. No, the Berlin Wall, you know, built by the communists to keep the East, you know, from fleeing to their freedom. It's about 96 miles long, 12 feet high, concrete wall, about 4 feet thick. But you know, I'm telling you all these building the walls all throughout history. You know, the greatest builder of walls was not Nebuchadnezzar. It's not Herod. It's not even the emperor of China. Or the Germans. The greatest wall builder of all time is the Lord himself. Have you read your Bible, Revelation 19? Revelation 19, if you take a look at it, verse 7, it tells us there that the Lord has built a city whose walls are 216 feet high. And enclose an area of 1,500 square miles. You believe in God? He's a wall builder. You know, he built this wall for his bride. I mean, the bride of Christ. Not only purchased with his own blood to clean her, but he built this wall to protect her for all eternity. That's God's plan for building that city with walls. The Bible believer understands that the Lord is a divider, he's a separator, and he's a segregator. In the Old Testament, the Lord God, you know what he did? He set apart his people, Israel, as a vine that he fenced in. Take a look, Isaiah chapter 5. You think I'm kidding around? Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 5. Take a look at what the Lord did. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it. You love someone, you fenced it. And gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and he brought forth wild grapes. The vineyard, he fenced it. And you know, not only that, you know, the Lord God, he set bounds for the Gentiles to live within as well. Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says in verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. You know, the modern Christian, you don't hear this in many churches. The modern Christian seems to be completely ignorant of the work of the Lord in wanting his people to be separated. It's all about, let's get together and get along. This church, should have marked divisions of doctrine and practice that a lost sinner should see. If a lost sinner should come in through that door and he feels very comfortable, he feels at ease there is something wrong with this church. There should be something that tells that person, I am not comfortable here. Because there is a marked division of doctrine and practice. You know, whenever a lost sinner enters a Bible-believing church, he should notice that there is a wall between heaven and hell that he cannot just get over, under, or through. Instead of being told the lie that God loves him and is everyone's father, you know that God is not everyone's father? And you know that God doesn't necessarily love everyone? You know, in the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us his soul, that's he hated those that work in iniquity. He should hear that between him and his creator is an unassailable wall that can only be broken down by the blood of the Savior. That's the only way. Is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That sinner should know that, you know, there's something in between me and God. I cannot just willy-nilly and go to God whatever way I know or that I want. That sinner should understand it has to be through Jesus Christ. And that is the only way. Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know that there is a partition between you, if you're a sinner, and God. The only one who's broken down that wall is Jesus Christ. You know, there's a wall. The doctrine of Christ is a wall. The Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ had not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. You know, that there's a difference between you and me if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God. And you know what else about you if you are not saved today? You are an enemy of God. You know what else that is a wall? The new birth. Remember Nicodemus? So a lot of people, it's a wall. They cannot quite understand that in order to go to God, you have to be born again. It's not by just doing all kinds of things. Not just by being religious and doing all kinds of acts of goodness. The new birth is a wall. That idea is a wall. You know what else is a wall for us Christians? I'm not just talking to the unsaved here. Wall is the fellowship of Christ is a wall. Between light and darkness. Take a look, 1 John 1:6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. It is also a wall. First John 1:6. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The fellowship of Christ is a wall between light and darkness. You want to have that fellowship with Christ? There is that wall between you and Christ when it comes to fellowship if you walk in darkness as a Christian. You know, the saved should know that to live for the Lord requires building walls, and it is always harder to build and maintain walls than it is to let them fall apart. You know, the backslider will tolerate preaching as long as it never lands on his sins. You know that walls are not only for separation, but also for safety. You know, a loving parent will make sure that their young child is protected at night behind walls and locked doors and windows. No loving parent in their right mind would open up their doors for anyone to enter the house and molest his child. You know, going back to Robert Frost, he said, "Something there is that doesn't love a wall." I agree. There is something there that doesn't love the wall. It is the one who's trying to destroy your child that doesn't love that wall. You know, when Nehemiah took on the work of building up the walls, remember Nehemiah? Around Jerusalem that were falling down, he found there were some folks who did not care for the idea. They didn't like that idea of building walls. You know, Sanballat, Tobiah, they laughed. They laughed and mocked and thinking that Nehemiah could never finish the job. But when Nehemiah proved to them that he meant business and he took his calling seriously, you know, then those two guys, they tried to hinder him. Nehemiah thought that a building wall was a great work. You know that? Nehemiah said building a wall was a great work. What about the enemies of God? What did they think? They said that the walls were something that there was that they didn't love the wall. They didn't like the wall. Would to God that more Christians were in agreement with Nehemiah in understanding that wall building is a great work. You know, many saved parents who would never go to sleep without making sure their children were safe behind walls nevertheless let the enemy enter right into the bedroom through the computer. Something there is that doesn't love a wall. And if there is anything that this computer age has accomplished, it would be to knock down every single wall of separation through a world wide web. Nothing can stop that filth coming in when it's through the world wide web. Everyone is connected. You know, in these last days, wall building is a ridiculous thought. You know that? Inclusion and tolerance are the philosophies constantly preached and forced on Americans today. You know, we call ourselves the melting pot. You know, the walls of separation, non-existent, no bounds of habitation. You know, in New York Harbor alone, in the last 200 years, And I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just stating the fact. We have millions of migrants of all nationalities, more entering this country through New York. In the mid-1700s, there's a story about two Jewish families, Lazarus and Seixas, the name. They settled in New York City. One of the patriarchs of the city, they started attending a synagogue. You know, over the years, the families became much more secular, and by the time Emma Lazarus was born in 1849, the synagogue and the Old Testament were nothing more to her family than ties to the Jewish community. Emma grew up in Manhattan as a privileged Jew, but rejected both the Jewish prophets and Moses. At 18 years of age, she met a 65-year-old man who would become her mentor, named Ralph Emerson. This guy is a Unitarian minister. He rejected the divinity and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Between the two of them, you know, you have a secular Jew who rejected the scriptures of the Old Testament, and you have a nominal Christian who rejected the scriptures of the New Testament. You know, Emerson encouraged a young girl in her poetry, and an early poem revealed the spiritual darkness of her soul as she wrote, quote, "I waited, but the message did not come. No voice addressed my reason. The lifeless riots, no comfort could impart, charged with no answer for my discontent," unquote. You know, her poor lost Jewish soul knew nothing more than the dead rituals of religion, which can never bring salvation. You know, in 1882, her confusion of true biblical Christianity with the Roman Catholic and Russian Orthodox churches was evident in another poem that was meant to cry out against the horrible slaughter and rape of the Jews under the Russians in the 1800s. She wrote, "Once more the sword of Christ is drawn." So she's confusing Bible Christians with the Roman Catholics and Orthodox, thinking that they're Christians. As most people today are completely ignorant of Bible Christianity and spend all their time allowing the media to think for them, you know, Lazarus equated the professing anti-churches of Rome and Russia, whose members persecuted and killed the Jews, with true Christians. What she never found out was that her people would find help, not from the Pope and his killer, Jesuits, but from the Bible-believing, born-again Christians who know what the Lord says in the book of Romans in 11, verse 28. You know what it says there regarding the Jewish people? If you are a Christian, the Bible says, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." We ought to love the Jews. You know, Emma made a trip to Ward's Island and complained about how the Jews put too much emphasis on their spiritual state rather than their physical condition. You know, she would eventually be called upon to write something that might be fitting for the, you know, how we got the gift of the Statue of Liberty, you know, the goddess symbol. It's designed by someone in Paris, built it by someone in Paris, Eiffel. It pictured the Roman goddess of liberty and would later be placed on a prepared pedestal on Ellis Island in New York Harbor, where millions would enter the land of their hopes and dreams. Lazarus wrote, "The new colossus that was engraven on a plaque and place at the foot of the pagan goddess." You know what it's written? What's written there? "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me." That's what's written. You know, the masses continued to pour into this country. But then, you know what the majority of them, especially in the past, they were huddled into filthy tenements of disease-ridden and dark crime-infested buildings. How many of you remember the Irish potato famine? You learned that in history. It ended up killing over 1 million Irish while forcing another 1.5 million to emigrate to America. Of those, about 950,000 entered through New York. So these so-called tired and poor yearning to breathe free, according to what's written, to whom the Lady Liberty opened her arms, do you know what? They had to live in the filthiest tenements without running water. Ovens in the summertime and freezers during winter. And if they did find work, it was the lowest paying, hardest labor, and least secure. Within a few decades, the Italians would replace the Irish as the wretched refuse of your teeming shores, also trying to just survive. Here's the point. Sorry for telling you all that long story. Without Christ, and without hope in this world, they die. And in eternity, they're lost. The Irish, the Italians, the Germans, the Eastern Europeans, the Jews, the Africans, the Shemites of Japan, Korea, China, etc. They all pile together into this one country without walls and therefore without protection. All trying to make a living without ever finding out what that means. You know what the Bible says? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You know, having a chance to better your lot in this life is not the final goal for the Bible believer. You know, in the American dream, this is what they always say. This is the American dream. That is all that matters. To better yourself. As Solomon said so long ago, for that which befalleth the sons of man befalleth beast. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. You see the so-called great experiment, it's called America, is absolutely useless without salvation. The great experiment, here's what the great experiment would be. To have a saved sinner wake up and fulfill his calling to bring pleasure to the God who created him. And he is told how to do that in a perfect book. Right here. That is the great experiment. You know, the U.S. of A. And don't kid me about being patriotic. Has effectively ridden itself of the Lord God in his book. The King James Bible, as well as that book, commands to separate, not integrate. You know, Americans scoff at and ridicule any Christian who would dare to take the Lord God at his word and try to preach it and live by it. You know, the modern Christian actually mistakes the long suffering of the Lord with his approval. And due to his almost complete ignorance of the Bible, you know, this modern Christian believes that God of the Bible is on the side of the USA. You know, it's true, he is on the side of the USA, but it's no different than when God was on the side of Babylon in Jeremiah, or side of Egypt in Exodus. Or Assyria or Rome. Why do I say that? Our country has refused to build the walls against idolaters. All kinds of sexual perverts and murderers. And the result is darkness pervades in this land. The U.S. of A. has broken down every single wall of decency. All in the name of tolerance and freedom. Gotta tolerate. Yeah, have at it. Have a good time. Do your thing. That's your life. While rejecting the truth that can make them free. Here's the truth that they cannot accept. Here's that wall that they cannot accept. You know, the floodgates are wide open. All kinds of stuff. There's no walls. The only way to fix it is for the Lord Jesus Christ to return.
Amen.
and take it by force, which he will soon do in spite of the scoffers. Oh yeah, he's not here. You guys have been saying that he's going to come. Oh yes, he will come. In the meantime, the Lord's people are to be involved in doing a great work like in Nehemiah. Namely, to build walls. Not the physical walls that I'm talking, you know, you guys are probably thinking about. But spiritual walls. And after we built that wall, then we should go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I did not preach something political. I just told you truths from the Bible. Be ye separate. Come out from among them. Don't be, I'm one of them type, just to get along. Rather please God than please man. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Put our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I know I went a little long, longer than the normal message, but don't worry about it. There's more important than the physical food is the spiritual food, the Word of God. This message is not about being a Republican or Democrat or what have you. It's just telling you as Christians, we ought to be separated unto God to be his workmanship. The Bible says, "For be holy, for I am holy." Have you been straddling the wall, just being in between? Or you don't believe in walls entirely? You know the walls that I'm talking about. Spiritual walls. Are you living a life that is just there to always try to please people? And not living for God. You don't want people to see that you're on this side of the wall, because there's no wall between you and them. So they cannot know the difference. There is a difference. If you are a Christian, saved, bought with a price, that's what you and I are. We are bought with a price. We are slaves. And our master is Jesus Christ. Is there a distinction between you and your neighbor? Between what you do and what they do? Or you just want to get along? If there's no distinction, if you don't recognize there has to be a wall to protect you and your loved ones, then you're just inviting spiritual attacks that could destroy you and your family. Fences make good neighbors. People ought to know that you're a Christian. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we still have this freedom to open your book. And sometimes it's not easy to learn the truth. Oftentimes, it's offensive. But only offensive if we're not submissive to your will. Lord, help us to love you above all. To love your book above all things. And take a stand that people may know that we are yours and you are ours. Help us as church, Chula Vista Bible Believing Church, Bible Baptist Church, to be indeed as separate, distinct, not compromising church. Help us to be true and faithful to your word. Please help us, use us to be the light in this community. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.